from the trenches. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to From the Trenches, real life in the accounting industry. We are brought to you by BGL, Australia's number one corporate compliance and superannuation software. I'm David Boyd from Sequel CFO, joined here again by Paul Meiser from Freedom Accounting System and Five Ways Group. And Paul, we're going global.
WCOA 2018. Hello, David. Hello, listeners. We're here at the ICC in Sydney. WCOA is wrapping up. You can probably hear in my voice that I have been talking consistently since Sunday. It is wearing a bit thin on the old voice, but we battled through it. David, just a massive week of global heads of industry, global heads of accounting associations, boards of I think both of the professional bodies was here, and board members of all three. What an amazing week. So what we're going to do this week there, we're going to have the episode all about WCOA. So, David, what was your best on ground for WCOA?
I've got these notes down, but now I'm just all these other things running to my head. A few best on grounds for me. Opening ceremony started with a bang. Fantastic welcome to country that was very educational as well because there were so many international visitors. Yeah, there was this big effort to show off Australian culture and what Australia is because there's just so many internationals here. I thought the welcome to country was brilliant, and I'm not usually someone who sits there and says, oh, that was a bit inspiring, but I got a bit of goosebumps during it, actually, with a very dramatic didgeridoo playing, and that looked fantastic. Probably the best for me, I went to a session, and it's got to understand what this... Actually, let's just explain what WCOA is. It's not a tech conference. The global people who run the accounting industry are here. And, you know, I just got this reminder, and I'll talk to this in a moment. The way we're going to do our best on ground is our three big takeaways. But, you know, the world's organised, and accountants play a role in that organisation, and that's what this is about. It's just interesting to watch it happen. And, you know, if anyone's following on Twitter and social media, you'll see there's MOUs being signed left, right and centre between countries, and I don't know if they're worth anything, or you know, people just need to say, oh, I went to Australia, I got this MOU, this is what I did, and they justify the expense of their trip. But aside from that, there was the type of content here was ultra thought leadership, big global ideas. I sat in one on the new trust economy, building trust in an online world, and the speaker, he's the guy from Game of Thrones. he gave this quote that I thought was brilliant that is so relatable to what's happening to us in practice land with the software that we use. What he said was, because trust is developed based on your online credibility and the way somebody interacts with you. He told this story about an asset manager who'd been running for 150 years and their asset managers were the best of the best and 30 years experience, but they were rapidly losing market share to this new asset manager who had a really sleek customer onboarding platform run by guys who'd been in the game for 2 years. Where the money should go, from a risk point of view, like you know where it should go. The guys know what they're doing, but they're losing based on user experience. Really interesting for those of us who are now picking up new software and choosing it based on how easy it is to learn and play with and be onboarded with. And it sort of diminishes, and he said the risk is that it diminishes the importance of the ability to do your job as a professional. The opportunity is you need to take your skill and ability out to the public and make it easy for them to integrate and work with you. And I just thought that was a really interesting idea because I feel like that's something that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, I think that user experience and actually going back to what the user understands is something that I think we're struggling with. A lot of software providers are going for that shiny bauble at the end or expanding their feature set rather than going back and always thinking, let's make less clicks rather than more clicks. And look, we had a global roundtable on Sunday and this came up quite a bit. It was, you know, how do you find that mix between software that's easy to use but customizable and scalable where you can add and keep so many different types of people happy?
One more best on grounds. I say big bravo to the CA team. The CA predominantly organised this, from what I can tell, with support from CBA. Both. There are only like five people who were the key organisers for this monster event led by Owen Conley from CA. This is a monster event. Like, just so you know, for a lot of people who've been to Accounting Business Expo, ZeroCon, or QuickBooks Connect, World Congress has hired out the entire ICC. That's how big it is in Sydney. You know, it's 20% of Darling Harbour, including probably most of the Sofitel next door, is filled with... This thing's huge.
Yeah, it's the scale of this is unbelievable. And we'll talk about the gala event as well coming up. Best on grounds for me... look, we often speak about networking, and it's one of those things that we've covered on how to network in this show. I think for me, networking has been really good at this conference in two ways. First of all, the global accountants, we're sort of, whether or not you can say, look, there weren't probably as high a percentage of public practitioners here as we would have hoped or liked, but you know, the range of people from around the world, like I spoke to people from Russia, Lesotho, in South Africa.
Very excited about the Lesothians that you met. Lesothians?
I actually had to learn how to say that word. And the session I gave on keeping compliance-based practices and technology, you know, had in the audience people from Australia, UK, Bangladesh, India, Sri Lanka. Like there was a real mix, and I think what that's done for me is also found that just how far Australia is in its tech adoption, because we're really having some different conversations in those countries. The Lesotho accountants that I spoke to was using Sage and Xero all the way in there in a landlocked state in the middle of South Africa. So that was amazing.
By the way, dear listener, we did spend a bit of time Wikipediaing and learning a lot about this new country that I didn't know a huge amount about. But it was very, and you were like a kid in a candy store after you met these guys. You were running around, you never guess who I just met. They're doing the same stuff we are.
I know, it was great. It was great, and it was great to hear cloud, I mean, especially about the adoption of cloud accounting. For me, the networking here, I mean, you look at the heads of associations, you look at board members, and I preface this with saying, because they were so accessible, they were walking the halls, they weren't stuck in a VIP area, they weren't away at functions, you know, they were there and they were accessible and they were very happy to chat. We spoke to the CEOs of all three bodies. We spoke to board members from all three bodies.
The chairman of CPA paid me a visit, Paul. He came and sat in on my session.
Well, that's pretty good. I had to go head to head.
Pretty good. I was a bit worried he'd maybe listen to the show and wasn't happy with something that we said some time ago.
My session had to go head to head with Andrew Conway, so I feel like I was at a disadvantage there because I don't quite have the pulling power of Andrew Conway. But look, certainly that was not only the heads of associations, but the head of software companies, staff.
And just on that, you know, the piece of software I learned the most about was Sage. So.
Shout out, Jennifer Warawa.
I've forgotten the Melbourne people, actually, based down in Melbourne. But when we talk about tech, we always talk about the three, Myob, Xero, QuickBooks. Yeah, bloody big sages in Australia. And I verified this today. It's one in three payslips in Australia is done on a Sage product. They've basically got
you
corporate.
Checked it.
Yeah, I checked them all. I went down and I spoke to them. I sussed it all out. One in three pays in Australia is done on a Sage product. One in four tax returns. 60% of all individual tax returns in Australia are done on Sage products. This is a giant. This is, you know, we don't talk about it the same way we talk about the other ones. They're bloody massive.
A sleeping giant. There you go. Yeah, very. And you're right, David. In the online cloud discussions is rarely spoken about.
Yeah.
The other best on ground for me, I spoke about at the gala event. I mean, this thing was 2,500 people, I think, upwards of that. And the room, you can't have sit down for that much, and you largely don't want sit down. Around the walls David spent the whole night at the whiskey bar, let's be honest.
I'm keen to hear what there was on the walls and the other parts of the...
David did not get, pretty much in a radius, whenever I lost him, I found him at the whiskey bar. Next door to the whiskey bar was a silent disco.
Oh, it was going off.
It was absolutely going off. All of the people on the silent disco dance floor had their own headset listening to their own music. So there was music in the hall. So that was hilarious to watch. I got my shoes shined. There was a makeup stand. There was... live painting. David, we both got treated to a magician show.
Unbelievable.
You got absolutely done.
So I've got a tell, apparently. Listeners, don't play... Well, Paul knows my tell, so...
I'm playing poker. After this, we're gonna play poker for real money because I saw what the magician...
And the fireworks. There was fireworks. To give you guys an idea of how big this was, there were fireworks on Darling Harbour.
Yeah, and my number one thing about events is not being able to get enough food. Yeah, you got to wait for the person. There was whole tables around of different beautiful food. It was amazing.
And I love. There's a lot of African nations represented here, a lot, which is a really interesting thing. Just talking to those guys, it was almost quite a formal event. Formal for these countries, they wore their traditional formal garb, and it was spectacular.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Absolutely spectacular,
and very nice to see. And they were lovely to meet too, which was great. David, look, worst on ground's probably a bit harsh of an event like this, but we have to do it because that's in the show notes. But what was your worst on ground?
I got two worst on grounds for me. One of them is a bit of a sensitive one. I think watching participants talk to the tech add-ons who are here exhibiting. So we had some very familiar faces exhibiting. You had obviously Xero and QuickBooks. We had BGL, Receipt Bank. When you go talk to a Receipt Bank and a BGL and you've been in the Australian environment for a long time, you know what problems they're solving. You've heard about them. They're quite advanced. When you go to the store, they're giving you demos and they're almost trying to sign you up. This crowd is not ready for that. And so you sort of had a little bit of a conflict between what attendees were here to learn and I think what some of those pieces of software wanted to talk about. So I'm not sure, if the return was there for those guys. I think, a bit of a different audience. Yeah. The other thing is I met my first person. I've never met anyone from Kazakhstan. And this guy was fantastic. He ran this business that was the chartered accountants and accounting exams. He wrote accounting exams. At the peak of their business, they were doing 30,000 exams throughout the Soviet Union. And then the Soviet Union accounting recognition stopped getting recognized globally and his business turned overnight. Really accomplished guy. Now he's involved in all this sort of developmental stuff. But the Kazakhstan accent was stereotyped by Borat.
And it I wasn't going to do it for listeners.
And he starts talking about his wife, my wife. And I felt like the Western world is going to look like Borat's ruined that this guy's the way he communicates. His English is fine, though.
He ruined it because of his accuracy or not?
Yes, because I'm listening to him talking. Then he says, my wife, in the back of my head, all I'm thinking is parody profile of a Kazakhstani. But, that's the big takeaway, Paul. It's one big world and we're all players in it.
I think it is. And look, I was lucky enough to sit down with the IFAC SMP team and SME team. And they actually took me through the results about what is on the global concerns and the global challenges. We've put that into a separate episode. But that certainly also showed me a lot about we're very in things that we're quite different to the global average, but some things we're smack on the money.
One other best on ground that I wanted to add in. There was a lot spoken about here that doesn't get spoken about at the other conferences that we go to, which is the core role of accounting is to build and maintain trust in the democratic systems that we work in. And that trust and integrity is just so important for what we do, and the rest of the world look at us to maintain that. And that was a really common theme here that, you forget it. That's the job. We've got professional standards and ethical standards, but it was drummed home here.
Yeah, absolutely. Worst on ground, quickly, because I don't think I've covered it. Worst on ground for me, just a slight bit, was just that the app. The app had some good things in it, but overall I just found it slow, a little bit consistently trying to update. I couldn't work the personalization. I couldn't pick my own schedule or my events. David, you worked out how to put it in your calendar, but clearly I hadn't worked it out.
There was a small problem with that, though. When I put it in my calendar, it was put in an hour early because the app was developed by some bloke in Brisbane who didn't realise there's no daylight saving in Queensland. There is here.
Classic. Absolutely kudos to... There was the translation service for the attendees. Yeah. Who had languages other than English was awesome. There was a discussion board and a lot of the sessions, especially the panel sessions, could have a question and live you could vote for your question. I sat there, David, when the Commissioner of Taxation was on stage. There was a question that I actually didn't ask that I think everyone thought I did ask, but was about the future of the tax agent. And I sat there while they were answering the question before, and my question kept getting more likely to go up the list. It was next. It was going to be asked
running
next.
Its own Melbourne Cup.
It was. It was not going to be running next. And I'm like, oh. And it came down to the wire. And it just got the last vote to get home, and he answered the question. So that was good. We didn't even cover the Melbourne Cup event, David. It seems like a week ago. Tuesday, it was the race that stopped the conference.
I can't believe how big the Melbourne Cup is in New South Wales. I had no idea. Yeah. I thought this whole Race That Stops the Nations thing was just some Victorian marketing moniker that we used. Yep. It's huge here. It was fantastic. The whole conference stopped and everyone watched and the big race happened. It was a great race. Some horse that wasn't expected to win won and came from nowhere. I'm not a big horse racing man.
It was also the guys from Bondo Rescue were here. I'm not entirely sure why. And Ricky Ponting stopped by. There was lots on. Anyway, David. For the in-depth topic today, what we did want to do was our three takeaways each. What we learned, what we're going to walk away into our lives. David, are you...
Well, I think there's a question that we can start asking now. Where does Australia sit globally on not only the role of accountants and accounting standards, but for the space that we work in, where do we sit with public practice, tech adoption? And this is coming from my trip in Singapore as well. And you've done a lot of work in this trip working with some of the international bodies. So I think that we can start asking the question. I think we're very far ahead. And I know that there's some people who listen over in the UK who are saying, well, hang on, you know, UK is about to become the biggest zero region by subscriptions. I just think that the thinking that's happening here, and it is because of zero, and it is because zero was adopted so quickly here. We spoke about tech adoption in last week's show. There is just serious innovation adoption here in the accounting space, in the accounting industry. We're talking about it. We've got some great thinkers that are Australian on the space. So I'm starting to think, are Australia the global leader? And can we do anything with that? Is that an exciting thing for us? That was probably one of my big takeaways. Should I go through them all? Or are you going to do one-on-one?
Well, let's start one-on-one. Neil Ferguson, for me, acclaimed writer, an economist, an economic historian, he called himself. He gave the opening after the opening ceremony, which included interpretive dance, David. I'm a bit disappointed you didn't talk about the massive interpretive dance session.
I put it on LinkedIn. It's had almost 3,000 views. The interpretive dance was fantastic. As we transitioned from an analog to digital world, expressed through creative dance.
Accounting expressed through dance.
Yes.
So Neil Ferguson spoke about, and the two things I really took about this was, he introduced to me the concept of unintended consequences. Mm. And it's one of those things that I've found myself thinking about it for the next couple of days after that, and also using it to sort of talk about we need to not only look at, and he was talking particularly in economic policy, but in we talk about it in, I was thinking about it in taxation policy. You know, yes, it's, what's the behaviour we're driving, but also trying to think about what the unintended consequences or the unintended behaviour. I mean, we've had the Pink Bat scheme and all sorts of, you know, R&D grants where you give it out, but the unintended consequences is rorting. He made a very, very good point and put it in a very good way. He also was talking about the constant need to learn from the past, learn why. He had an amazing presentation on what caused the global financial crisis. Mm. And even though we averted, or seemed to avert fairly quickly going into depression, have we learnt from, even though we've put in a whole lot of policy and all that sort of stuff, have we really learnt the lessons? Had some really interesting things to say there. Very quickly on Neil, by the way, he is from Glasgow, but he's lived around the world. In the morning session, he had almost no Scottish accent. By the time we caught up with him at the host event, he gave another sort of talk. We snuck into the host event, the VIP event. He was on stage and had it sounded like Billy Connolly.
Yeah. Well, he was doing a bit more. He was quite humorous, telling some stories.
He'd relaxed a bit, yeah.
It was very interesting. For me, the access to leaders was brilliant. I mean, the people who run the software companies and who run the professional bodies, just walking around, you can go and talk to them. Fantastic if you want to, and people are here to form global alliances, they're there. You can go talk to them, it's really good. I think it repositioned for me the role that the professional bodies play in the industry. Our industry is very important. We have major stakeholders of big corporates and government. We need to be organised. It is organised by IFAC and then the professional bodies that sit under it. The role of those professional bodies as standard setters, as, you know, controlling the professionalism, controlling the... I mean, I'm talking about the purpose of them. Forget all the scandals that have happened in Australia recently. Just talk about the core purpose of them. And it just made me reinforce what we've spoken about before is, would you renew your membership? Is there a role for associations? Yes, there is. There is absolutely a role on a global perspective, Absolutely. You can still ask the questions, well, are the members getting the benefits that they need? And that should be a constant feedback cycle. But I can see from this the importance that these bodies play.
All right, very interesting. There you go.
Clearly don't.
I think the member value bit. And I think if professional bodies don't connect with their members, you know, I see it not dissimilar to the way politicians have perhaps gone to, lost the sort of feeling of the people by maybe forwarding their own agendas rather than going at the members' needs or looking after the voters. You know, not ideally one for one, but I think it's sort of in that direction. Another one, my second takeaway was we listened to Brian Ford talk about blockchain and cryptocurrencies and a lot of that. He made some comments that just really stuck with me. He again highlighted that thing that often we forget is, when we buy a digital asset, so it's either a show on iTunes or Netflix, we can buy it, but we don't own it. You know, to actually own something, you have the right to do with it what you want. You know, back in the day, we could go and buy a CD or a video, and I could have given it to someone else. I could have lent it to somebody else. With digital assets now, arguably, we've lost control and we've lost ownership, even though we've had faster access to it. And where he said, David, that was really interesting to me was the blockchain, could spring up and bring that. Even though the new digital assets, they're really easy to use and easy to get, but you're not owning them. So what if there was a technology that gave you the same experience to get it and share it, but you actually owned it? Some very interesting things there. And also, he really did highlight, and this is the one thing I often like with when I'm talking to software companies, is that he actually said that the, you know, transacting online is compared to in a shop, is actually really hard. You know, the amount of times if you buy something online, you've got to put in your name, your address, you know, you've got to update your shopping cart, you've probably got to create an account, remember a password, and then you've got to look for your 16-digit card number and all of that. You know, you can save it in certain areas, but, you know, you're actually entering a lot of things, whereas you walk into a store and you go beep and, you know, tap and go. So he was sort of saying, you know, what if there was, you know, the technology in online stuff needs to really have that better user experience. Comes back to what you're saying, user experience.
But blockchain came up again with the Ban Ki-moon's panel session, which was much more interesting than we thought it would be. Not to say that Ban Ki-moon's a boring person, but an hour and a half of Tony Jones and Ban Ki-moon, we had a big night last night. I wasn't sure how long my attention, it was fantastic. Yanis Varoufakis, the Greek economic minister, who's just a brilliant mind and very clear thinker, got asked a question, what do you think of blockchain? And what do you say?
Irrelevant.
And then everyone laughed, but he explained why it's irrelevant. Yeah. It's a bit of a bubble. Just a couple of things.
That was on the currency, not the software.
Yes.
He was very impressed and said the software, he said he was very impressed with the software, but it was a solution that we hadn't found the problem for.
He read the code. He went at pains to say read the code, which you know, if you say I read the code, does that make you more of an expert?
Don't know.
Sounded like it. But that panel was great. You also had Ban Ki-moon giving you a very global perspective, like the threat of environmental Armageddon. It almost made you think, like, why is anybody doing anything other than solving environmental problems, didn't he?
Yeah, look, and that was my third takeaway was from that session and kind of almost in a, you know, a disappointing way is that there's a report out saying that global temp, if we don't do something, we've only really have 12 years to deal with the horrendous impact of climate change, and just how this push towards nationalism and protectionism really is hurting that. And, you know, governments can't do the climate change game on themselves, but certainly they're needed to lead. You know, we are lacking leaders at the moment because of this rise of protectionism.
Lots of thought leaders in the environmental space, though, Paul.
Exactly. And look, and those both Ban Ki and Yanis were talking about the almost direct repeating the steps that were taken in the 1930s that led the world down a dark space.
The final thing on that panel, Karen Elizari, who is a
how impressive
good hacker. So she's paid to try to hack things for good, to try to find security flaws. Unbelievably impressive. And actually, the panel sort of segued. It looked like it wasn't planned into the threat of cybersecurity. This woman was brilliant, talking about, you know, Tony Jones commented, maybe I'm an older man, but I can't remember all my passwords, I don't know what to do with them. She said the average person has to remember 47 passwords, and passwords is a bygone technology for when we only needed one or two things to log into. You know, your internet banking and your Gmail or Hotmail or, you know, whatever Yahoo Mail account that you had back in the 90s. It's now a redundant factor, and your mobile phone has so many sensors on it, you should be using biometric passwords for everything. This stuff needs to change because it's unhackable. Then her tip was, and listeners who use cloud software, heed this tip. I thought it was brilliant. Don't use words for passwords. Use phrases that are important to you. She said religious phrases, quotes from songs that are longer, so it's harder to hack, but easier for you to remember.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And I think she
great
got
tip.
She started in Israel good hacking, as she called it, in the hacking community as a 13-year-old girl in Israel. That's just super impressive.
It was. And the way she spoke about the role of nationalism, obviously being from Israel, Israel can be a bit tough in some parts of the world these days, but the identity that you produce for yourself online was about the pursuit of getting a job done. And that's what being a proud Israeli and a global citizen wasn't the same thing. And that really appealed to the crowd, didn't it? You know, you can't be a good national citizen unless you're a global participant.
And they covered that a lot and made a lot of sense. You know, there was no one on the other side of that argument. Listeners, it has been a massive week for us.
I'm done, Paul. I'm spent.
We are pretty much networked out, but we're going to head back home to families. But as always, people, and we did have some people come up to us from various parts of the crowd saying that they did listen to us and from all over the world, which was great. Listeners, we love hearing your feedback.
Sorry, one final thing that I noticed. CA are obsessed with listening to younger chartered accountants. It's not lip service. They really want engagement with younger members. So if you're a younger member and you're out there, call and find out how you can get involved in the organisation. Stop just belting and complaining about it. Get involved.
Absolutely. Listeners, have an awesome week.
See you guys.
Thanks again for listening to an episode of From the Trenches. David and I love to hear from listeners, so you can reach out if you've got feedback or story ideas. Get in touch. I can be reached on Twitter at @PaulMeissner_ or on LinkedIn, Paul Meissner.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, Boyar, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
From the Trenches.